Good morning. Yes, no, nay. Good morning. Can you hear me okay? I'm kind of lost here. I'm sorry. I don't do the three things. I think it's kind of weird when they just try. I just want to make sure this is working. It's working. I can hear you. Yes. Can you hear me now? Yes. Okay. All right. I guess we're good then. I hear myself kind of flat, and I thought I would sound a little more manly this morning since I am kind of sick, but I guess there's no mic that can do that trick. But anyways, if you're here for the first time, we just want to say welcome. And just tell you that we're so happy that you're here spending this moment with us. We do have a little gift for you. Maybe you already got it. If you haven't received anything, let us know on your way out. We are a little different. We're very friendly, but we're very passionate about many things. We're very passionate about relationships and enjoying each other's company, having fun and living. And we're also very passionate about God and what He wants to do in our lives and through us. So for those of you who come here regularly, last week I missed you guys. We were at our youth rally. We had a ton of fun. Some of our kids made us really proud doing the prayer in front of 200 other youth, and they went visiting nursing homes in the afternoon, cleaning up parks, and also doing hospital visits, and I had a really good time. Then from there I had to go to Maryland to do a mandatory health screening, and it turns out that I'm not as healthy as I thought I was, which really stinks. So for your good, you might only have me for a few more years, and then my time might come up. Hopefully not, but well, Cindy will get a nice paycheck. But anyways, let's leave it at that. And then the highlight of the week was that on Sunday we got a chance to celebrate our little Eliana's second birthday. And next year we'll do it here. And you're going to be very happy. You won't have to bring a gift next year, because we might do one of those that you actually give a gift to someone else sort of thing, like a pass it on, or we're going to raise money for something. But this year we had her, since we were in Maryland, we celebrate her birthday there, and it was really, really awesome. So after the birthday, after the celebrations, the present opening ritual came along, to which I left, because I said, Cindy, I don't want my daughter to learn that joy comes from material things. I'm a very boring dad. Aren't you glad that I'm not your dad? She's two for crying out loud. Yeah, that's what Cindy said. But grumpy dad that I am, yeah, I walked away. But then Cindy shared these pictures, and oh my goodness, I regret missing it, because there was just joy in her eyes. And as she opened those presents, her face lit up, and he goes, "It's for me, for me," she kept asking, and she kept getting all her clothes and like trying to put it on to see if it would fit. I mean, she's two, where does she get this stuff from? But there's something so exciting about new things. And at the end, she just couldn't bask in her glory, and she was just exhausted from all this this newness and excitement, and she just passed out there among all her gifts. And it shows something actually very true. New things are exciting, and they're fun. And maybe it's not a Barbie doll that's going to bring joy to your life. Well, Barbie's like out of favor right now. They do, what is the little short one with the bangs called? Dora. Yes, somebody here has a two-year-old daughter. Yes, you got it. Absolutely. And and maybe that's not going to bring excitement to your life, but like the last time you got a phone or a new car, that new car smell. I only smell that when I rent cars, because my newest car is like 10 years old and my oldest one is 21, old enough to drink. I wonder if I would get a DIY, but anyway, it doesn't matter. But new things, new jobs, exciting parts of our journey, new relationships, don't they bring excitement to our lives? Transitions in work, and new things bring this sort of excitement and flavor and taste to life. And yet there are old things that bring comfort and stability to our lives. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. So let's pray, and we'll go into our Bibles. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this chance to spend this time together. And as we take one last look at what you have taught us about your kingdom today, as we finish this series, may we find today what our heart longs and desires, what we need, and may we find newness in you, and may we be inspired today to soar to new heights, to fly higher than we ever have flown before, and to come ever closer to you and to others through the work that you're doing in your lives. May this kingdom become a reality in your life. In Jesus' name I pray, today. So if you're visiting here for the very first time, over the last several weeks, we have been taking time to study Matthew 13. And today we're going to kind of finish this series. But Jesus has been teaching all along about this thing that he called the kingdom of heaven, his kingdom. And he said some very strange things. He said that this kingdom would be kind of like a sower that sows seed on the field, that it would be like this struggle between weeds and seeds. And we found all sorts of weird and strange things. He said that his kingdom would be like the mustard seed and like the yeast. And his kingdom would be like a treasure and a pearl of great price. And through all these things, he was trying to give us pictures of what his kingdom would look like. And there were some beautiful teachings all throughout those parables. And if you're curious, you can go back. The one about my weed problem, that one is not online. I guess me talking about weed, it wasn't a good idea. So that one didn't make it online, but all the other ones are online. And if you're visiting, you're going to think we're very weird. No, we were not talking about that type of weed, and it's not online because it wasn't recorded. It wasn't a problem or anything like that. Please come again next week if you're here visiting us. We're not that strange. But through all those images, Jesus has gone from the Sermon on the Mount where he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," to now giving us all these images about what the kingdom of heaven would be like. And now we find ourselves at the very end of Jesus' teaching of the kingdom of heaven. So this is the conclusion of his sermon. So we started with Jesus at the lake. So this was the sermon at the lake, we could say. And then in verse 36 of chapter 13, if you have your Bibles, you can see a little transition. And now you see that Jesus went into the house. So this is kind of like the encore. This is kind of the grand finale. This is now with the closest group of people. And he asked them this very important question. He says, Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord. Of course, Jesus, we understood all this. Yeah, we got it, Jesus. Absolutely." And it reminded me about that friend in algebra class who, after the teacher explained algebra class, asked us, "Did we understand?" And everybody said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, we got it. And then my friend, he just like elbowed me and said, "What did X stand for again? I forget." That sort of thing. And Jesus then gives them this final message. And I think this is one of the most beautiful and profound things Jesus teaches us about the kingdom of heaven. And this is Jesus' grand finale. This is Jesus' mic drop. This is Jesus' final speech. This is his closing. This is his landing of the ship. After this, Jesus says, "Peace," and then they move out of there. This is how Jesus finishes this great sermon about all these images about the kingdom of heaven. And it goes something like this. And he said to them, "Therefore, since you understood all this, every scribe who has been discipled for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." A few observations. Not very helpful. Weird, strange, and once again, Jesus seems to be giving us something that is not very practical. I mean, this is not the "I have a dream" speech. This is a "I'm confused" speech. The first image that came to mind when I read this is that, oh, great. So the kingdom of heaven must be like a antique shop next to a Radio Shack, new and old put together. And then I shared this idea with some of the young people around me, and they said, "What's Radio Shack?" And then I realized, first of all, that those two were like one of the same, and secondly, that getting old really sucks, and it seems like I'm getting very, very old. But Jesus, I think, is trying to actually get to something really deep in this verse. Because how can something be old and new at the same time? First of all, in the English language, we have two words. In the English language, we have one word for new. It's new. Now, the Greeks were a little more complicated and sophisticated, and they had two words for new. One was neos, and this meant something new on the scene, something recently revealed or something new that is made up that wasn't there before. Think of it as a baby. A baby is new. It wasn't there before. Now it came to the scene, and you're no longer sleeping, you're no longer eating, you're no longer doing a lot of things. But it's new, it's exciting, it's something fresh, it's something discovered. It's like a brand new iPhone that came out, and well, actually, they all look the same nowadays. But anyways, it's like a new item that was created and that never before did it exist.
But then there was another word for new, which is kainos. And this means something new in quality. This means an innovation, something fresh in development or opportunity. Because it hasn't been found exactly like this before, even though it did exist before. It's something that has been made renewed. Let me kind of tell you what I think that looks like. During the 90s, there was a revolution in the way we live life. The internet came about. We became hyperly connected. Technology just revolutionized the way we work, the way we socialize. Life started getting a lot faster. Travel times were shortened. And all of a sudden, life began to get really complex, really fast. Things went better in some ways. We were far more productive. We could consume more. We could do more. We could produce more. But suddenly, all this change and all this fast-paced style of life began to do something in us. And some people began to develop a nostalgia for simpler times. And they would think, man, before things were a little more relaxed, a little simpler. We weren't running around so much. And researchers found that that nostalgia was beginning to spread across culture. And something interesting began to happen because now they start to capitalize in this nostalgia and new things begin to come out which kind of look like the old. And you saw the Volkswagen Beetle in the 90s. And it was so successful that all the American counterparts began to copy that, and you had the return of the Camaro, because there is this thing about the old that is makes us feel safe and familiar, and there's something also exciting about the new, and they started to realize this and put the two together, and then the new Charger came about, and the new Mustang came about, and all these things that were new but old started to be. Have you ever heard a song and could have sworn you heard it before, but it's supposed to be a new song? Yes? Let me tell you why that might be it. Check this out, just a minute and a half.
Let me get this straight, Chicken Little. What you're trying to say is you can take those four chords, repeat them, and pump out every pop song ever. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Just listen. Do you recognize this?
Yeah, that is Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
Very original. A few more songs.
Check it out.
My life is brilliant. My love is pure. I saw an angel of that I'm sure.
That's just two songs that are similar. That's
forever young. Three songs. No more, no more, it cannot wait. I'm yours, this is the way you left me. I'm not pretending. No, 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 no glory, no happy ending. Cause you were amazing.
Find the whole video on YouTube. It's about 6 minutes long. I edited it and shortened it a bit, and it gets really fast. But can you see new and old? Now you know why that song said it felt like you heard it before, and you actually kind of did hear it before, but at the same time, it was brand new. New and old. Now, this also happens at even deeper levels. Have you ever fallen in love? And you said, wow, I never thought I could feel this way before. And it was an old feeling that all of a sudden was made new. And all this concept of new and old, or have you discovered wonder, an object that you have always known, all of a sudden you see it in a new way, or something that you learned when you were little, you actually understand it now, and it becomes new. And this is, I think, what Jesus is trying to get to. Because this is not about searching for new things. This is not about novelty. This is about newness as a state of being, joy, happiness. And this has deep implications. Because if the kingdom of heaven is what God says it is a place where there will be no more heaven, there'll be no more pain and no more suffering. If the kingdom of heaven is a place where there will be ultimate joy and happiness and love and people will not fight, then how can you get there if there is nothing new that takes place? So now, which word do you think Jesus used when he described this? Neos or kainos? The interesting thing is that Jesus didn't use the word neos, because the kingdom of heaven is not something that will be just come out of nowhere and something new that will all of a sudden come to be. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is kainos. It's this thing that will come to be new in a new way. It'll be an innovation in the way you live, and now you will still be you, but all of a sudden you will be made new. Because if the kingdom of heaven, there is no more violence, your violence has to be renewed into something different. If in the kingdom of heaven, they won't have all those things that have control over your life, unless you learn to live with some of those things, you cannot enjoy the kingdom of heaven, because it won't be heaven for you. So Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is a renewal of things. It's freshness. It's this old, but now made new. The kingdom of heaven is new. It's you now being renewed. And that is very good news. So how do we get there? Because that's the next following logical question. How do we get there to that renewal? Okay. Because Jesus has been toying with this idea. The kingdom of heaven is something that is coming. It's then and there. But the kingdom of heaven, he said, it's also among you. The kingdom of heaven is right here and right now. And this is where it gets really interesting, because in that very same verse, now Jesus gives us a hint about how we begin to experience this newness. Because at the very beginning he said, therefore, every scribe who has been disciple for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of the house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. There's two words there that Matthew writes down that hint to us what that process looks like. And there are two words that we really don't use in our daily life, scribe and disciple. So let's use more modern words. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a scholar who has become a learner. A scholar who knows everything, who has achieved perfect knowledge, who now becomes a learner. Let's do this a little differently. The first time I visited the Lucas house, Grant, I'm so sorry if you're listening. Hank greeted me, and was it Hank? Yeah, and he claimed me as his property. In other words, he peed all over me. And yet, I still visited the Lucas family quite regularly. A few weeks ago, I once again visited the Lucas family, and I wasn't sprayed by Hank. But Briggs came and attacked me with one of these. And I was assaulted as I entered the Lucas family. I don't know why I keep going back. And I should learn my lesson by now. So I tried to figure out what was Briggs doing. And he was training. He was training really hard with his lightsaber, so he would one day become a master Jedi. Now, I don't know much about Star Wars. I have to admit, this is unknown territory. But I come to realize that Star Wars is such a big piece of Americana and culture that I begin doing a little research. What was Briggs trying to do? And why did he attack me, for crying out loud? What did I have to do with any of that? And I became a little more acquainted with this whole Star Wars thing and this Master Jedi thing. And it turns out that there is a journey to become a Master Jedi. And it starts something like this. Luke is first of all introduced to the instruments that he will need to become a Jedi. And at first, Luke doesn't really know what to do with it. So he's like staring right at it. And then that happens. And apparently it's very painful and embarrassing. Yes. So first, he gets the tools. But the tools are not very practical. He doesn't know what to do with it. So the second step in the journey of a Jedi is to now choose a master and trust the master and follow the master. And now the master, Obi Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan? Yes. Begins to train him. And that is the second step in the journey to become a Jedi. And now the training begins, and Luke begins to learn that there is a force that can run through him, and this force can kind of control him, and he can somehow also control this force. And he begins to learn to master this force, and he begins to learn to use his lightsaber, and it begins to do some really cool things, but it's hard. Because it's like two steps forward and three steps backward sometimes. And then he gets shot in the leg. And then he, like, almost cuts himself. And then, in the worst time, the lightsaber just shuts off because he doesn't know how to control it. And it's very embarrassing, and it goes for a long time. I thought I had mastered this. What is going on, God? God, why am I still tripping over the same stone over and over again? What is going on? I thought I had covered this. God, it seems that I'm constantly tripping, and I cannot move on from the stage. But his training continues, and sometimes it gets so frustrating. But one day, Luke grows up, and he's no longer a Padawan learner. He becomes a master Jedi because he has mastered the Force. And now the Force is in him, and now the Force runs through him, and now he has made it, and now he is the master Jedi. And at this point, you think, yes, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like, right? We start on this journey, and we go, and we learn new things, and we master, and we struggle, and we think we're making progress, and sometimes it's frustrating, that's right, but one day we know we will make it, and we will be the master Jedi, right? Is that what the kingdom of heaven is like? What do you think? Yes or no? Except that Jesus said, that's not what the kingdom of heaven is like. And this is really, really good news. Because this is what I think is so exciting about this passage. This is what is so compelling and so relevant, because I think in this passage, Jesus is actually speaking to us more specifically than any of the other parables. Because at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, remember? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then at the very end of his ministry, he tells this parable about the wedding feast, and he invites all these people to his wedding feast. And at the end of the day, who comes to the wedding feast? The lame, the crippled, the blind, those who couldn't see, those who couldn't walk, those who couldn't speak, those who were marginalized, the poor, those who had nothing, they come. And Jesus said, in a way, you know what? I'm not so worried about the poor. I'm not so worried about the poor in spirit, because I know they'll want to be in my kingdom. And because they want to be in the kingdom, I know that they'll be there. But here's the good news. Jesus said, but I want scribes in my kingdom too. I want Pharisees in my kingdom too. I want people who think they're okay. I want them in my kingdom too. So here is the way of the scribe into the kingdom. And Jesus says, the way of the scribe into the kingdom of heaven is the way of the master Jedi becoming a Padawan learner again, only to realize that he's just simple Luke. And as he goes through the process, he now discovers that he has new things to learn and new heights to soar. And he can fly higher, and he can live more, and he can love more. He can be opened up to freedom, because that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. You're always learning, and you're always soaring higher and higher. You never make it, because when you think you make it, Jesus says, oh, there's even more. You can live even more fully. You can love more. You can have more joy. You can learn again, but you have to go from being the master Jedi to being a Padawan learner again, to realizing that you're still Luke, and now you have opened yourself up to new heights, to new life, to newness, and the old becomes new. What does that look like? I'm going to ask my twin Jonathan to come up front to help me out with a little illustration. We planned this. It's all coordinated. He knew that I was going to call him at the end. He knew that very well. But I think it's kind of like this. So Jonathan is here. Yeah, now we're twins. Yeah, there we go. Stand up straight. Don't rub it in. All right, anyways. And you're here and you're feeling, man, I'm a little bit frustrated with my life. I don't know. Something doesn't feel right. And Jonathan has been going around. He's been killing people and killed Loretta, and he went and he killed Steve. Steve, I don't like how he's looking right now, so let's kill Steve. And he's going around, and he's killing Tom, and he's just going around killing people. And then he says, man, I don't feel very good. So Jesus comes along and says, well, Jonathan, let's see if we can stop killing people. And Jonathan says, well, I kind of like killing people. It's kind of fun. Yeah, but you don't seem to be very happy, and it seems to be doing something. It might be hurting them, Jonathan. I don't know if you noticed, but there might be some people who get hurt by that. So what if you tried not to kill them? Would that be okay? I think it might be good for you. So now Jonathan takes a step, and he comes my way. And now Jonathan's going around saying, oh, I think Kinui is kind of dumb, actually. Look at her. No. Oh, Glenn, I don't like you either. I think you're kind of, ugh. And goes over there, and Melissa, oh, my goodness, Melissa, she's cuckoo. You have no idea. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, say, man, I don't have a lot of friends. And he's feeling kind of frustrated. He says, I don't know why I kind of feel lonely in this life. And there's something inside that's kind of empty. So Jesus comes, and, hey, Jonathan, what if you stop calling people stupid and dumb and ugly? Because, you know, that might actually be hurting them. And I kind of created them, and they're kind of made in my image. And Jonathan said, no, but don't you see how stupid they are? Well, Jonathan, let me remind you that you do your fair share of stupid things, too, if you haven't missed. And that's okay. So what if we at least try not to call them stupid? Because calling them stupid is kind of like killing them, the Bible says. You think you can try? Yeah? Okay. Take a hand and take a step. All right. Good. Now, Jonathan, how's it going? Good. Yeah, now Jonathan has some friends and he's doing a little bit better. Yeah. And now Jonathan is starting to realize, I wish my life had a little more meaning. I wish my life was a little fuller. Jonathan, I see that need. Here's what I want you to do. I want you now to go and love people. And I want you to tell them what you experienced. I want you to tell them about me. And those people who are calling you stupid now, and those people who are trying to kill you with the lightsabers and all, now I want you to go and serve them. And Jonathan says, I don't think I can do that. I don't know if I can do that. And Jesus says, I know you can do that. If you give me your hand, we can take the next step together. Because each time Jonathan looks forward, Jesus, all of a sudden, is two steps back. But he's extending his hand, and he's saying, come this way. And Jonathan now says, I don't know if I can do it. So we move over to another lane. Jonathan, I see that you're feeling a little frustrated with your marriage, right? I know. We don't have to talk about it, dude. I get it. Just teasing you. Here's what I want you to try. Be faithful. But it's kind of like an adventure to be other. No. Be faithful. Because if you break that trust, when you break that trust, love cannot exist, and now you're hurting, she's hurting, now you're missing something, your kids are, so can we try to be faithful? Okay, can you? Okay, take my hand, let's take a step this way, okay. And all of a sudden, Jesus moved another way. Jonathan, how's it going? It's better, yeah. At least she's not stabbing me with a knife or chasing me around with a house with a bat or a lightsaber for any sake. But maybe you could do a little more, right? Maybe it could be even better. I want you to love her, even when she treats you bad. Even when she tells you that you're worthless. I know she does that all the time, Jonathan. I hear you, man. I want you to still love her, even though she may give you nothing. I want you to love her like I love you and the church. Jonathan says, well, I don't know if I can do that. Jesus says, I know you can do it if you just give me your hand. We'll do it. But we can move over to another lane because now Jonathan is exhausted and he's tired and he says, I just need a break. I just need to work is over me. And maybe that's how you're feeling today. You just need to rest because you've been resting all the time. And Jesus says, Jonathan, take a Sabbath. Take a day off. Just enjoy rest. One day a week. Can you do that? But I feel this tension and I don't know. Just take my hand. Let's take this day. And now Jonathan takes another step, and now I step back. Okay, good. Now I want you to learn to not just take a Sabbath. I want you to learn to to trust me and enjoy life and rest in the peace that comes from trusting me. And I'm running out of stage, so let's move a lane this way. Because now you're concerned about money, and you don't have enough money. And now your concern is, I need more money, and I need to do this. And God says, what do you need? You need, okay, here. How much do you need, Jonathan? $10? He's cheap. Have 100. Here you go. All right. But now I want you to be a good steward of that money. Can we do that? Let's try not to use it on things that will actually hurt you instead of build you up. Stop using on things that might be chasing things that are not building who you are and not making a positive impact. Can we do that? Okay, good. Take a step. Come on. All right, good, 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 good. Now you have enough money? Yeah, it's working out a little better. So here's what I want you to do now, Jonathan. I want you, now that you have more money, I want you to start giving it back, giving it away. Give it to those who need it. Give it to those who don't have enough, and share with them the experience that you have experienced. Can you do that? And Jonathan says, I don't know. Take a step. I know you can do it. Give me your hand and take a step. And that's what I think. Thanks, Jonathan. You were a good twin. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It is a journey that when you think you made it, you realize that there's another step that you can take. And when you think you're the Master Jedi, you go back to being a Padawan learner because there's more that you can accomplish. And there's always more. But the thing happens as you live more. As you love more, you soar to new hearts, to new highs, and newness begins to fill your life. And the road of the Master Jedi becoming a Padawan, the road of the scribe becoming a disciple, is paved in humility. Because humility puts you in a right standing with God. And humility puts you now in a right standing with other people. And now you're able to love other people. Now you're free to think that you're better than them. Now you're free from hating them. And now you're free from thinking anything. Because what happens if in God's kingdom, Loretta, who's kind of messy in her tiny home, and I don't know if she takes her out of her yard because she has little Olivia mowing her lawn. Yeah, I don't know if I want Loretta to be my neighbor. I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that. And if you're hating people, if you're doing that, how are you going to be in that kingdom when they might be your neighbors? And when you ask for a permit to build a wall, you cannot build a wall. Jesus says, humility is the road that paves the new kingdom, the road of the Master Jedi, becoming a learner again. And humility is a tricky thing because humility helps all things fall into place, how you relate to others, how you relate to God. But it's also so difficult to attain because the moment you find it, you lose it, right? The moment you said, oh, I'm so humble, shoo, good. What happened? Your humility disappeared. The moment you said, oh, I made it, I'm a humble as can be, I'm so happy I come to give praise because I am humble. Dude, you just stopped being humble. So let me tell you the shortcut to humility. Sometimes it's being inspired by others. This is Memorial Day. You're inspired by people who gave their lives, who sacrificed so much. Yes, yes. But the quickest shortcut to humility, and with this we'll close if the band wants to come up front. The quickest shortcut to humility is for you to realize your need. And when you see your need, it opens you up to this whole new world of opportunities. When you see your need, and you see in that need Jesus reaching out to you and calling you to take another step in a direction that you may not be so comfortable, Jesus is opening up the door of the kingdom of heaven to your life. So what is your need? Because I think that need is Jesus' open arm invitation to the kingdom of heaven. And if you're willing to, able to recognize your need, here's the good news. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is just for you. And if you can see your need, that is why I created this kingdom. And maybe today you don't have a need. And maybe this kingdom, maybe you don't need this kingdom. But here's what I'm willing to bet my life on. Every single one of us has a need. And in that need, Jesus is embedding his personal invitation for you. And in that need, Jesus' hand is stretching out to tell you, just take one step. Because there's a kingdom waiting. We spend much of our life hiding our needs. We spend much of our lives trying to fill those needs with other things, with new and bright and shiny things. But Jesus says, that need is there for a reason. That need is my invitation to the kingdom. What is your need this morning? Maybe you're hungry today and your need is for me to finish so you can have lunch. Yes, yes, I got it. We'll finish. This is it. Maybe you're a young mom. You need to sleep. I get it. But what is your need? Maybe you need peace. Maybe work has gotten control of your life and you don't know how to cope with it. Maybe it's a physical ailment. Maybe it's a relationship that is broken. Maybe there is a habit that has taken control over your life. Maybe your need is to find purpose and fulfillment in something bigger than yourself because you haven't found it. Maybe your need is just breaking free from things that are bringing you down, things that you cannot cut away from. Maybe your need is to find healing and forgiveness where you cannot find it. Jesus says, that need, that's why I'm here. That need is why there's a kingdom waiting for you. And if you open up to that need, if instead of rejecting that need, you embrace it and you let it humble you, if you let it take you from thinking that you're the master Jedi to thinking that maybe you're just a Padawan learning, maybe you're just you, Jesus takes your hand and he lets you experience newness. And now you soar higher and higher. And now your relationships are strengthened. And now joy fills your heart. And now newness sets in. Because in this kingdom, will find new joy and old peace, new love and old wisdom. In this kingdom will quench your thirst and heal your wounds. This kingdom will give your life purpose and meaning. This kingdom will make you new. So does anyone here today need to recognize their need? Whatever that need may be, I don't know what it is, but Jesus knows what the need is, and that's why he placed it in your life, because in that need, he's inviting you to trust him, and he's inviting you to enter into his kingdom. Today, we finish the series on the kingdom, but I don't want you to leave this place today without embracing that need, taking that need, and saying, Jesus,
Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, Spirit. Lost the way.
old story, which you may know, says that there was a father who had a son. And he used to send his son to get water in the river with two jars that were placed on his shoulders, hanging from a stick. On his first trip, the boy stumbled, and it seemed that the jar had cracked. And when he got to the river, he picked up the water, and on the way back, he saw that the jar on the right hand was leaking. And he didn't want to say anything to his father because he felt embarrassed. He didn't know if he had broken it. So he kept doing this month after month, but he was frustrated because when he got home, he didn't have enough water to meet the supply that was needed, and he was sad and frustrated. He didn't know what to do. And after 4 months, he came up to the father and said, "Father, I know I haven't been able to bring enough water. I know that I haven't met my quotas, and I know that we have been experiencing need, and I don't know why this is happening, but one of the jars is cracked and it's been leaking water. And I was just embarrassed to tell you because I didn't know what to do about it." And the father told him, "Son, knew that the jar was broken. So on the very first day when you went out on that path, I planted seeds along the way of four flowers. And each day when you came back, the water that was leaking from your jar was watering those seeds. And that is why now you have seen in our table fresh flowers each and every day. That is why everybody who comes into our town now sees flowers lining up the path. This is why all of our neighbors now have fresh flowers in their homes. Because I always knew that the jar was broken. But I saw that out of the brokenness, beauty could come out. Because your need is not only Jesus' personal invitation for you into the kingdom, but your need can now become Jesus's reaching arms to people around you in your community who can experience His love, His compassion through your need, through what you experience, because now you can relate to them as well. Our Heavenly Father, so grateful for this kingdom that you are creating. A kingdom that will never get old, because even when we're sitting at the feet of the Master, there'll be new mysteries to learn and new things, and we'll always be in this learning mode and growing to even higher heights, soaring ever higher. And Lord, I know that and in that need, you are teaching us to trust you. In that need, you're opening us to live our lives in a fuller, brighter way. In that need, you're inviting us on a journey, because you are our friend. And in that journey, you want us to touch other people's lives for good, so they too can be in that kingdom. So as we leave this place today, Father, may we not reject the need that is within us. May we not look the other way. May we not try to fill that need with whatever things we can find out there.